The Your Safe Space podcast is recorded on Gadigal land. This podcast acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. You're listening to the Your Safe Space podcast hosted by me, Adele Marie. Joining me on air today is Sarah Alcordi. Sarah is the woman behind The Rent Fairy, a business designed to help tenants find their next rental. Sarah is a powerhouse in the property and rental industry and has helped secure over 1,500 homes for her clients. I'm also very proud to say that I am one of those clients, and after having battled the rental market myself for majority of this year, I could not wait to get her onto the show. I'm so thrilled to have her on, and I hope you guys enjoy this chat. Let's get into it. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Welcome to Your Safe Space.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy to have you here.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here.
It's going
to
be a great episode. How's your morning, your day been so far?
It's been good. Obviously, we've caught up with a few clients today, got the ball rolling with work, and now we're here.
Amazing. And so you're on one of our Sunday episodes today, which the first question I ask all of my guests is, what's taking up space? So it can be anything, big, small. It can be physical, literal, mental, emotional. What's taking up space in your world?
What's taking up space in my world, I think at this point, is balancing everything between mum life, being a businesswoman, a friend, you know, the dating scene, a sister, a daughter, the whole everything that I need to be, all the hats that I need to wear at the moment. I think at the moment that's what's taking up space in my world.
Yeah, I can imagine you. I obviously know you through your work, but there's obviously so much more that comes into life and into play. So trying to balance all of that. Obviously today we're going to do a bit of a focus on obviously the Rent Fairy and your business. And so I would love to know, and maybe the listeners as well, for those of you who are listening that maybe don't know a lot about you, or actually, yeah, we'll just do you first, a little intro. Give us a little elevator pitch into who you are.
Okay. So obviously my name is Sarah. I'm 30 years old. I have a little almost five-year-old boy. So I'm a single mum to an almost five-year-old boy, my absolute world. Amazing. I have the company of The Rent Fairy. That is also my world. So it's like my second baby. I put everything into that. I live a quiet life. I enjoy the outdoors. I enjoy nice things. I'm just your standard kind of girl slash mum businesswoman at this point.
I'm going to say you're superwoman because don't know how you're doing it all.
Neither do I. I tell you, there are greys under this colour.
Same.
Definitely. I'm telling you, it is. Yeah, I go to my hairdresser and I'm like, there's greys. You either cover them or I'm pulling them out. And we cover them. It's a lot.
Your hair looks great.
Thank you.
All right. Now, I would also love for you to share with us kind of the origin story or the creation or where you got the idea of the Rent Fairy from, because it's incredible. Everyone needs to know about it.
Yeah. So the Rent Fairy, so I'll give you a little bit of, we'll take you a few years back.
Yeah.
So I was a property manager for about 8-9 years prior to having my son. I always had this little inkling where I was like, nobody's helping the tenants, nobody's helping them. Like, I obviously was a property manager, so I worked for the landlord's best interest. So when people would come through rental open homes and they'd be approved for a property, everybody else who wasn't approved and had no idea how to submit an application, or they weren't approved because they didn't have enough documents or for whatever reason, no feedback was ever given. Still happens to this day.
No feedback given.
No feedback. It's just a generic unsuccessful email. I hated pressing send on those emails to the large number of people and not having the capacity or not having the task in my daily task list to call those people and actually give them the courtesy and say, look, you haven't been approved this for this reason. Maybe next time try this.
Yeah.
So I had a little notepad, a notebook, sorry, and I would just take notes throughout the years of my property management career. And I remember distinctly I sat with a friend in a car and I was like, I have this idea, but I don't know if it's being done. I mean, there's relocation agents, but I was like, I just don't know if it's being done. And then, you know, didn't do anything about it. Had my son, went on maternity leave, became a single mum when my son was 4 months old, moved back in with my mum. And I thought, what in the world am I going to do?
Yeah.
I can't go back to full-time work because I need to raise my 5 month old at the time. What am I going to do? So I said, you know what, I'm just going to utilize the next 6 months that I have to try and build up this idea that I have. Sat down with my mum, with my sister. They said, yeah, we'll support you. Let's do it. My mum actually came up with my business name. I'll never forget it.
Go Mum.
We were driving home. We were at a set of red light, traffic lights. And she said, what about the Rent Fairy? And I said, that's it.
Yeah. It's the perfect name.
It's the perfect name. Got the logo done. We did our own website at the time, me and my sister. And I said, that's it. This is going to be a company that is made purely to help the tenants. Obviously, I'm limited to what I can do because agents, they have to do what they have to do.
Yeah.
But I said, this is purely to be to help people and to help tenants in the market.
Yeah.
In 2020, we were still going through COVID. The rental market was a bit different then to what it is now. But yeah, and now we're almost 4 years in.
It's incredible. I love how you saw a gap in the market and then you just tailored your idea to make it work. It's a brilliant idea.
Well, everybody would always ask me, what do I do in my application? How would I do it? And I said, well, what if I turn this into something that can educate people, give information out, and then actually take over the process and help them.
And actually find them a place to live. Like, legitimately find them and secure their homes, which can be so life-changing.
And I do like relocations from other sides of the world. Like we did Ethiopia to Guildford in Sydney.
Oh my God.
And it's crazy. And I got this call and I was like, what? Why is Ethiopia calling me?
Yeah.
And then I answered it and then they're like, we need a rental property. And I was like, oh, no problem.
So the Rent Fairy is worldwide.
Worldwide. And that's what I think also sometimes it's like a pinch me moment where I – literally started this with a baby. Like he'd be like, I'd be burping him while I'm doing emails. And then I'm sitting here and it's like people on the other side of the world know about my company.
Yeah.
And call me.
It's incredible. I think it's also a testament to you because obviously building a business through that period of your life, I can only imagine how stressful navigating so much change as well.
It
would have been so hard. So it makes me happy to know that you have had such success and recognition from everywhere because you are great at what you do and we'll touch on that in a second. Can you tell the listeners what kind of services you do provide at the Rent Fairy? Because there's a few different ways that you can help.
Yeah. So there is really the whole process of securing a rental property. We've got different services and different parts that we can take over. So our most popular and sought after service is a search and application because it works hand in hand. So we, like we did for yourself, we take over the search. So we actually search and source for properties on market and off market. Off market these days, I have to say, are quite difficult because there isn't a lot out there that stays on the off market. That's under about the 1500 mark. But again, that differs in states. And then, so we'll search and source for search and source for properties. We'll liaise with the real estate agents, book you in for private or public inspections. And then when it comes to negotiating any rent, lease terms or anything, or any questions they have about the property, for example, they see a property and they want to know if it's fully fenced or if it has a bath, our client doesn't need to contact that agent. We get the answers for them directly. Then when it comes to the application side of things, people hate sitting there and applying for properties.
Yep.
They also hate having to put together the application profiles because sometimes they become hard.
It's sometimes they're hard and they're different every platform too, which is really annoying.
To apply is probably the most annoying. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Real estate, but now everything's got the two-factor authentication. You've got to log in, you need a code. There's so much that they want to know, you know. And sometimes more isn't always the best. Throwing everything at an agent, but obviously we'll touch on that again. Yeah. Throwing everything at an agent isn't a great idea. So when it comes to the application side of things, we'll actually take over submitting the applications as well as reviewing and putting together your application profiles. So working with you to make sure that we know what your rental history is, we know what your employment is. If you're moving states, what are you going to be doing for work? How are you going to be affording the rent? Then when we actually submit the applications, we're having those conversations with the agent and saying, hey, we've got a client. This is what they do for work. This is what they do. This is where they've been living. This is their rental history, you know, kids, pets, anything that they have coming with them. And then we do the follow-ups constantly. And the good thing is we've got the relationships with the agents, you know, so we're able to call and say, hey, we've got a client who's looking for a property. We can see it online that you've got one. Can we come through? Or an example of that is on Friday, one of our clients got approved for a property in Pimpama, Queensland in a brand new complex. The property manager then reached out to me, building manager then reached out to me and said, hey, we've got another six coming up. Who do you have? and another one has just been approved in that same complex this morning.
That's amazing.
So it's about communicating and being able to make contact with agents, because making contact with real estate agents can prove difficult.
So difficult.
And I will call, and I say this all the time, I will call and call and call and call. If I've got my AirPod in, I'll just keep tapping call.
I love
because
that.
I need to get through.
Yeah.
It's what my clients engage our services to do.
Yeah. And I think as well, most people wouldn't be able to do that themselves. Yeah. Like even for me, like I was like, no, I'm not ringing. I don't want to be annoying. Yeah. I don't want to bother them. Like not following up.
You feel like you're being annoying.
Yes.
And that stops you.
Yes.
And then you end up losing out. Or people are working in their 9 to 5 and they've only got that 45-minute lunch break after you've eaten. Or it might be a 10-minute break to actually pick up the phone and call an agent before 5 o'clock. Whereas I say to my clients, focus on your 9 to 5. My 9 to 5 is to find you a house.
Yeah.
And that's what we do.
I love that. You did just share one success story. Do you have, what is your favorite success story?
You know what? I feel like I don't have a one particular favorite success story, because all of my clients that I bring on, I seem to always have a personal relationship with them. We always seem to end up as friends because I take them on and I feel as though their problem then becomes my problem. And we work on it together. It's like working with your friends to find them a house. And every story that, or every client that I've worked with has been my favorite story. I mean, obviously there are different ones where it's, you know, a single mom who was 2 weeks out from being evicted from her property. And it was not any fault of her own. It was just end of lease. They wanted her out. She needed to find something. Nobody would take her seriously on the one income single mom. It's always like a red flag, but people don't know that single mums are hustlers.
Yeah.
So
shout out to the single mums.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it took us 4 days to get her a house. It's just
days.
A matter of application.
Yeah.
And networking and saying, I've got someone. She's been paying rent. She can afford it. She's got an income. Where can we put her?
Yeah, really advocating for the tenant.
And then, it's just nice. And then you keep the relationship with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is where I want to tell the listeners as well. It took you 12 days to find me a home. And the listeners will know I was looking from February, and I wish I just had have gotten your help sooner. And that's probably like one of my regrets. But even now I think it all worked out.
It's not, because you got a great property. And I feel like it was meant to be, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
And you're moving at a good time as well. February is everybody's still in a rush at the start of the year.
Yeah. It's quiet.
It's quiet. April, yeah. It's a nice time to move.
Yeah.
Or even May, whenever you are moving, it's a nice time to move.
Yeah. Now, we got so many questions for you today.
Okay.
And I'm going to run through some of what our listeners have submitted. This question made me laugh because I also want to know. Mm-hmm. But the listener has asked, what was wrong with Adele's application?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously something minor, but we want to know.
I love how she's struck me. Obviously something minor. There's like, nothing wrong with it. No.
I knew there was something wrong.
I don't think there was anything in particular wrong with your application. Sometimes there are just things that need to be worded differently or put in, right?
Yeah.
So when you are self-employed and you're young and you're a single female.
Thanks for calling me young.
People, you are young. People, well, agents look at it and say, what happens if she doesn't make money that week?
Yeah.
Or what happens if she loses her job, for example? What we needed to do with your application was make sure that they understand your income. Make sure they understand that you've got stability. Make sure they understand you're also a homeowner, so you understand what you would be expected to be like as a tenant. But it was more about making sure that we follow up on your application. We couldn't afford for your application as a single woman, self-employed, to be lost between the
and a dog,
yes, to be lost between the couples on two incomes.
Yeah.
So
do you know, So this was way before I had even spoken to you, my very first rejection. That was the one and only time I got feedback.
Yep.
And the property manager had said to me, the landlord decided on a couple. It was you up against a couple, and the landlord just felt more comfortable giving it to a couple. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah. And I can tell you, I can probably answer why they would do that, is because if, for example, you don't make income 1 week.
Yes. The other person can.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if, you know, if it's Jane and Bob, and Bob loses his job, Jane still has the job. Jane can cover, you know, parts or majority of the rent. So what we needed to do with yours was really highlight your income, make sure your accountant had given references, and then really give them a background on you. So part of what we did was the breakdown of application to all the agents that we applied for,
yeah,
to really make them understand your application. Some agents are lazy. They won't actually read your application properly. They'll look at income, if the application is easy or not to process. Mm-hmm. And if it's something that they can't process themselves and figure out, they won't be able to then portray that properly to the owner.
Yeah.
So what we do is, and this probably sounds really bad, but we break it the fuck down.
Yeah.
Because I need to almost coach them on what to say to the owner.
Yeah.
So when they read my email, I'm pretty much telling them what to say to their owner.
Yeah.
So when they go to the owner with your application, they know I'm telling them what to say to the owner, because I'm saving them from actually breaking it down and using their brain to figure out who you are, what you do, what you make, where you've been living, what you own.
Yeah.
So I don't think anything in particular wrong with your application. I think it just needed a push.
Yeah.
And that's something that we're really good at. We'll push and push and push. Yeah.
So incredible. We only submitted 2 applications. So yeah. It was the second one.
Yeah.
So happy with that.
Yeah. Well, that was the one that you wanted.
I know.
So we pushed.
Yeah.
We pushed.
I even before I went to the inspection, I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the one.
I think we even pre-applied for that one. We did. We pre-applied. And that's a lot of things that we do as well. We pre-apply, get in contact with the agent, let them know to expect you to come through the open home. So I'm pretty sure that agent was expecting you at that open. And then that way, when you go through and you say, hey, I'm Adele, I'm here for this, I've already put through an application, you're already going off in their head.
Connecting the dots type of thing. Yeah. I was also really shocked at just how much the rental market had changed, because I rented many years ago in Sydney for a little bit because I lived here for about 4 years. One of our listeners also asked, like, why is the rental crisis so bad? And in your opinion, because she's struggling to find a 2-place bed on the Gold Coast at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Gold Coast is tough.
Yeah.
So majority of my work is Gold Coast.
Okay.
I mean, we do Australia-wide, but a lot of it is on the Gold Coast. And it's more of there's probably a few things. There's a lot of people, owners, who put their properties as Airbnbs to make more of an income over a shorter period of time, less wear and tear on their properties. And then there is not enough supply and demand through the roof. Demand is just...
Yeah, I noticed that. Even looking, I'd be like, oh, there's not that many that there's I not, can
But there wasn't
look at.
That many.
Yeah.
You know?
So your options are...
It's a needle in a haystack.
Slimmer. And then you go to the inspection, it's you and 70 other people.
Yes. Yes. We went to one yesterday, Pimpama, Queensland, 60 people. Oh, was it? No, it was... it was Pimpama, Queensland, 60 people through.
Yeah. It's rough.
And so we're not even 60 houses available in that one area.
Yeah.
And this is where the pattern, and it's like, okay, one person will find a house, 59 more, and then... Others will just join along on that each week that people get notices or get rental increases that they can't afford, or the landlord wants to sell, or they're relocating, or they're moving out of home for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a repetitive pattern, but I don't see it getting any better.
Yeah. And so obviously that's why applications are important, and a good application is important.
Yeah.
What would you say is the main difference between like a good application and like a bad application? What do you think is the most important thing on your application?
The way it's completed.
Yeah.
And making sure – there's a few things. I can't say one.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's – if you're not putting your application in and it's done to a T where it's completed, where the agent has no reason to follow you up for documents or reference checks or anything, any questions in regards to your application, that's an application done correctly.
Okay.
If you're and that's where an agent will actually process your application.
Right.
But if you are up against – you go to an open home and there's 60 people and you put an application in, but your application is missing the documents that they need, the agent isn't going to call you and be like, hey, Adele, I've got 15 other applications.
Yeah.
Yours is looking shit. Can you get me this stuff?
Yeah.
They've got 15 other applications. Yours just goes bottom of the list.
Yeah.
And everybody else gets a chance before you do.
Okay.
So when people aren't aware on how to actually submit an application and what they need, or they don't want to give the relevant documentation that is required, that's where people are falling behind in actually getting approved.
Mm-hmm.
So good application, bad application. A bad application will have no references being responded to, not enough documentation, supporting documents, and isn't completed in full.
Yeah. Okay.
So like rental history and literally references, like your employer or your accountant if you're self-employed. makes all the difference.
I was going to ask you about references. Mm-hmm. How important are they?
Oh, and so important.
Who should people be putting as their references?
So references, if you're self-employed, it's an accountant. Mm-hmm. If you work, obviously, for a company, it's your manager or someone who can confirm your income.
Okay.
Very important. Don't be putting a friend down because a friend, if they're called, unless they're well trained in this, will not be able to then confirm your income and any questions that they might have about your roles in your job, how you are as a person. So it's really important that they are given an email address that is actually they can actually respond to. Mm-hmm. And in terms of like business references, you can put down then friends or a colleague or again, your accountant or a previous real estate agent, mm-hmm. or for example, in yours, you could put down anyone who manages your investment property.
Yeah.
Anyone who can really vouch for you and is responsive.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to put someone overseas who does not respond to emails or someone who just is not an email person, don't put it.
Yeah, that reference is pointless. Yeah.
Like go to your employer and say, okay, I'm applying for rental properties. Who can I put down that's going to be responsive to a few emails to be able to confirm my employment?
Okay.
So important.
And then because I actually had this and this was one thing I was finding, I would be asked for like my rental history, but my rental history was old, mm-hmm. right? It was like 4 years old and I would put it down and I'd put the ledger in there and I'd show that I rented and then I'd put the emails in, but those emails, like those people, those property managers didn't even work there anymore. And so I guess my question on that one is like, what do you do if you either have like really old rental history or if you have no rental history?
So
I feel like it's similar.
Yeah. Well, really old rental history in your application, if there's a point or somewhere you can put in there that you're unsure if this email address is still the property manager due to the time. And I would say if that's anything from like 3 to 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in terms of you could call the agent and try and see if you can find out if that email address is
active
or if there's somebody else who can give you a rental reference. If it's 7 years, you're not even on the system anymore. You're in the archives in a storage cage, gone. Like they don't even know you're a tenant in that thing. So these are things that when we're looking at your applications, we're looking and we're checking, we're saying, okay, we've got your rental history, for example, from 2018. We've got that and then we check if they've actually put the reference down and then we'll make a call and say just checking if this email is still valid. We just need a rental reference. Mm-hmm. But if you're coming to me with a rental reference from 2010.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. We don't even know if the real estate's still around there.
Some real estates are closed.
Don't worry about it. Anything from like now, like 2016 backwards, it's gone. You're in the archives. You're gone.
It's irrelevant.
But in terms of no rental history, depending on where you're living, if you've been living in a share house and you're not on the lease, get the leaseholder to write you a letter.
Okay.
Get the leaseholder to be your reference. Mm-hmm. If you're living with mum and dad and you're paying anything towards the rent or even utility bills, groceries, anything like that, just get a letter from mum and dad. Write it up, print it out, give it to them or email it to them. Say, can you just sign this? Pop it in your rental application.
Yeah. So because really painting out that picture.
I'm never worried about rental history.
Okay.
I don't stress about it like others stress people without rental history stress about it because to me you have to start somewhere and I'll advocate the shit out of a first time renters getting approved.
Yeah.
You've got to start somewhere. Focus more on what you have to offer in your application. Okay. Stability in work, references, how long you've lived with mum and dad and what you've been contributing or how long you've been in a share house. Focus on what you have, not what you're lacking.
Yes. Oh. So
like you've got to turn that energy into, okay, I don't have a rental history, but I know I'm going to be a good renter. Yeah. Sometimes what we do with people who don't have rental history, if the agents are real tough, is we'll say, okay, we'll sign for 6 months with the option to sign again for another 12 or 6 months to put the landlord at ease.
Okay.
It's like,
yeah,
you've got to start somewhere.
I love
that. Like you're not a first-time renter forever.
No, and everyone has to
be. If you're renting,
you have to be a first-time renter at the beginning.
But I do find that when you're under 25 and you're a first-time renter, there's a stereotype there.
Yeah.
But come to me, I'll advocate for you all the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we need to do something. It's different if you're a first-time renter with no employment. I mean, I could probably still get you a job if you have savings. I mean, I'll probably still get you a house if you've got savings. But that's different.
Yeah,
you
know? Different ball game.
But I never get like, it's not when someone calls me and says, oh, no rental history. I go, oh, yeah, sorry, can't help you. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Okay. What about
you got six kids or like eight dogs? Like, well, I don't, what's the problem here? Like,
I was going to say that the dog.
No, the dog.
If someone calls you and says, "I've got a dog," is it better to hide your dogs on your rental application?
Oh, if you want to, if you would like to live your life like looking out, you know, looking behind you the whole time, you get a knock on the door, you think it's your real estate agent or your landlord, then sure, hide your rental, hide your pets. But no.
Okay.
No. Make a cute pet resume.
Yeah.
Put your pet in. Tell them that your pet is the best pet and doesn't bark and, you know.
So trained.
And who's outside and will not scratch a wall and the rest of it. Put it in there. You'll live a lot more at peace knowing that your pet is approved in a rental property.
100%.
Rather than your dog is left at home one day crying and barking. Your neighbors have no idea. They're friends with your landlord. They call your landlord. Your landlord says, nah, there's no dog in there. They think it's a kid. Then you've got police and someone at your front door. Just get it approved.
Yeah.
Target the properties that are pet friendly. And even if they say nothing about pets, still go for them.
Okay.
Even if they say no pets, give them a call.
Yeah.
I know you've advertised as no pets. I'm just wondering if the landlord would consider a little sausage dog.
Yeah.
That's it.
People were telling me to hide Franklin. No. And I was like, are you for real? All someone has to do is Google me.
Yeah.
And they'll see you. And then they're going to be like, she's a liar. Yeah. I don't want a liar living in my house.
Yeah, no. And that's a breach.
Yeah.
So that's 2 weeks and you're out. Like, yeah. And then you've got to get rid of the dog. And then you've lost all trust with the agency and you've lost trust with the landlord. It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
You're better off being patient, getting approved for a property that actually allows you to house your dog with you.
Yeah.
Than lying about it.
Definitely. And even from like my perspective too, I'm like, I wouldn't want to live somewhere where the landlord doesn't like pets as well. Like I'd rather us all just be like, oh, we know he's there. We know he exists and everyone's happy about it.
Imagine your landlord lives upstairs
or next door.
Or just dog sitting 24/7. <Yeah. laughs> No, I can't.
All right. Now, still on applications, because I think I struggled with this too, being a single income or a single, what can someone do if they are on a single income to stand out against a couple?
Again, it's back down to documents and showing income and showing you've got, if you've got savings, I know it's hard to save these days, like shit is expensive, but if you've got savings there for the bond, if you've got anything in your bank account where you can actually show that you've got your income, you've got savings there, pop it in your application. If you're still struggling on a single income and you've got someone who can go as guarantor on your application, pop them as guarantor. But I'm not talking guarantor is just a letter from mum or dad to say, hey, we're going to help with the rent. Put them on the lease.
Okay.
Because then their income is considered on your application.
Yeah, and it looks like a jewel.
Yeah, so if you make 50K, mum makes 50K, your income, household income now is 100K and, you know, you're sitting up where, or if it's higher, whatever it is, you're sitting up now as a two-income household.
Yeah.
You just put it in there that she's not living in there or she's staying there however many times she may come around. And that, that'll strengthen your household income against other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, it's touching on what we touched on before. Mm. It's the landlord saying, okay, well, if Bob loses his job, Jane's still got hers. Whereas if Adele loses hers, what's she going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of lessening that risk for the landlord.
Yeah.
And I wanted to touch on a little bit of like the landlord side of it, because I'm a landlord too, but I feel like when I leased out my rental property, I saw zero applications. I just, my property manager said, I've got this one. It's the best one. Are you happy to go ahead?
Okay.
And I was like, I trust him. So sure. And they're still my tenants now and they've been incredible and I haven't had a bad experience. But what should like a first time landlord look out for or think about from your perspective? And can landlords contact you about renting out their properties, like off market or no?
Landlords can reach out and say, hey, we've got a property. Do you have anybody who's looking for that? Absolutely. Like if you've got properties, call me because I have tenants. So, you know, not a problem. The good thing is when landlords do that is they know that I've got clients where I've done my side of checks.
Yeah, and you've vetted them.
I've done it all. Yeah. Like I know that they're good. And this is something that we do in the initial consult that we have with them is we go through all of their specs like work and all that kind of stuff. But definitely they can call me. But as a first-time landlord, this is where it gets really tricky for them, right? Because first-time landlords are just as nervous as first-time renters or people looking for rental properties. Mm-hmm. So they are picky as shit. Mm-hmm. They are like, no dogs in my property. No, I need double income. I want rich. I want like, you know, I don't want anybody who's got kids, for example.
Yeah.
Like first-time landlords can be, it's a little bit harder for them when they're leasing out their properties. But I would just make sure that they engage with a great agent, mm-hmm. someone whose communication skills are impeccable.
Yeah.
And just go with the process in terms of reviewing your applications and normally just go with your gut. I know mm-hmm. it's hard, but at the end of the day, as you would know, you have to only choose one.
Yeah.
I get that. And I can't believe I'm saying that because I'm like for the tenant, for the tenant. But like just pick what suits you best and then we'll also put you at ease yeah. as well.
Absolutely. And so on the other side, do you then see like bias from property managers in the process as well? Yeah.
But some property managers are honest. They'll say, sorry, this landlord doesn't want kids.
Okay.
Or this landlord doesn't want, you know, young people. And sometimes that's because they've had a bad experience with something.
In the past, yeah.
Majority of the time, if it's for one reason or another, if they say no pets, it's because they've had a bad experience with a pet.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, yeah, there's been damages or something into a property and or, you know, someone's had kids and they've damaged it or whatever it is you mean. And then they're like, oh, we'll have pets but no kids. You can put a pet outside, but you can't put your kid outside.
Far out. Jesus, my God.
It's full on. It's full on.
It is. And that's obviously so much that like the regular person wouldn't see. Like and like you said before, like there's no feedback happening at all. I only ever got feedback once and I got rejected 5 times before I came to you.
Oh, wow. Okay, so yeah.
It did good to like, you know, soften me to rejection. It was like rejection therapy.
Yeah, rejection therapy. That's hard though. And that's when people come to me.
Yeah.
And they are like at their wit's end and they're like, I can't do it anymore. And
because what happens is I would go to these inspections. I'd be like, oh my God, I love this place. And then I'm like putting the rug there. My TV's going there. Yeah. My couch, I'm furnishing it in my head. I'm on Pinterest. And then it's like, oh, sorry. Unsuccessful.
Yeah.
And most of the time they wouldn't even tell you. It would just, you'd log into whatever portal it was, if it was like sorted or to apply.
Yeah.
And you could say declined.
Declined. Unsuccessful. Yeah.
So speaking of, how long usually does this process, I know that's such a hard question.
It's such a hard question. Because
I feel like you had a very quick turnaround on me compared to me roughing it out there by myself. Yeah.
Well, I don't have a time limit with how long we work with our clients because it's too hard for me. I can't guarantee time.
Yeah.
If you come to me and you say, I need a property by the 1st of May, I can't guarantee that it's going to happen. There are certain things that are out of my control, like the availability of a property or when the first inspection is or, you know, factors in certain people's applications. So I can't guarantee it. But turnaround time at the moment, some days it's 4 days. Sometimes it's 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 4 months because people are like, oh, I'm not in a rush. Just monitor it for me.
Okay.
Do the process. If something great comes up, we'll go for it. If not, nothing. So we search every day for them. They look at it. They say, yes, we move, we do it. But there's no real rush on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a chilled process because they just want someone to be like, hey, we know what your criteria is. Jack, jump on this.
Yeah.
You know? So it's very hard to give timelines.
Absolutely. And how long should somebody touch base with you if they are?
ASAP, if you come to me 3 days before your vacate date, you and I will both be crying because it's like, it's too hard. Like, I'm not saying it's I probably shouldn't say it, but it's not possible. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's very hard to do.
More pressure.
You know? Yeah. It's a lot of pressure, especially if you're coming on a Friday and you're at a house by Tuesday. I'm out. Like I can't do much there. Yeah. But I say about 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks before.
Yeah.
Because I really like to ease into the process. I like to show them what's available in the market. I like to talk to them about their expectations and I like to show them a few of what's out there just in case they want to make changes. Some people will come to me and be like, no, I'm strict on my criteria. Then we speak with them, we show them a few things and then we show them a few other things that are more in their budget, in their criteria, but a little bit further out. And sometimes that's where they end up. But that's just the service that we have. We're here to guide you. We're here to advise you on what we think is most suitable for you. You can come to me with 1,000 suburbs. I'll search all of them. It doesn't matter. But then I'll break it down and say, these ones I think are most suited for you, especially if you're family and you want family oriented areas mm-hmm. or you want to be close to a school or you have to be in a school catchment. So there's,
I love that part of like working with you. You were really able to kind of figure out what I wanted. And then even just showing me properties, like there'd be properties that you guys would find that I wouldn't even see. Mm-hmm. And you would also like go in around like surrounding suburbs, which I really liked. And so I just wanted to share with the listeners, like I don't think it really matters what your criteria is or what your budget is. Like you can work with pretty much anyone.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
We do budgets from, you know, 300 $250 a week mm-hmm. up to what's the max that we've done, $27,000 a week. Wow. Like insane, yeah. insane budgets. But we help the everyday person. Like it's just, you know, you and me.
Yeah.
You know, we just help anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone that needs it.
Such a good service. Yeah, thank you. And so our last question is, obviously you're expert, you're an expert in the rental market, okay? And the rental market is very different now to what it has been in the past. Do you have any advice on what anyone looking right now can do or what they how they can like put themselves in a better position?
Yeah, I think just being prepared in advance mm-hmm. with your application. I always bring it back to applications yeah. because it's so important. And utilizing your application before you inspect properties, if you can pre-apply for them, making sure that they're done properly, pre-applying and then following up on the agents. It's just, I know it's a repetitive draining process. I'll do it every day. So it doesn't drain me. I actually enjoy it because I get the satisfaction of helping people at the end of the day. But I think more of just making sure that application is done properly mm-hmm. and submitted on time.
Yeah.
If not before, as soon as you get out of that open home, get it in.
The quicker
like
the
we
better.
Do applications on Sundays because I need it in before Monday morning.
Okay.
Me and the girls are like Sunday morning. I'm like, everybody had breakfast. Yep, done. Let's get on. And it's like everything because we ask our clients, if you've inspected properties on Saturdays, please let me know by Saturday yeah. afternoon. So like we did
That's
with you.
That's what you did with me.
So
yeah.
let me know what they've gone through. And then Sunday, the girls and I, and it's nice because there's no one calling us on a Sunday. We pump through the applications.
Okay.
That way on Monday, our attention isn't to getting applications in, it's to, okay, let's pump out the approvals now.
Yeah.
So Monday is approved, yeah. approved, you know. And that's,
Mondays are the best days.
Mondays are the best days, yeah. And it's enjoyable. I love it. Yeah. I love helping people.
And that comes through. It yeah. comes through even in like all of your team as well. Like,
yeah, I love my
the process,
team.
I cannot honestly fault it. And even with my property manager, she even passed on how like such good feedback
yeah.
on you guys. And she said, yes. I don't know why more people aren't using the Rent Fair. I said, I know, literally yeah. life changing.
Yeah. She was really nice though, your property manager.
Yeah.
Very lucky.
So lucky.
Yeah.
All right. Where can our listeners find you? Give us a plug.
I am Instagram, therentfairy_, and then www.therentfairy.com.au.
Amazing.
All my numbers, you can book in calls. You can contact me anyway.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I loved having you on.
Thank you so much. And thank you for letting us help you.
No, I'm honestly so grateful. Couldn't have done it without you.
Oh, I think you could have, but I'm glad you didn't. No.
All right. Now, before we let you go, at the end of these episodes, we do a little PS, a little sign off, but it's a recommendation of the week. So
okay.
it can be anything that you are enjoying at the moment
oh, okay.
or loving. That you want to recommend to the listeners.
Oh, okay. I've been into a bit of self-care at the moment.
Oh, we love that.
And I'm a bit time poor. So I used to do my laser at laser clinics or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm recently using the Go Bare IPL.
Okay.
Life-changing.
And you do that yourself?
I just laser at home. I'm doing laser at home.
That's so good.
I should get you one.
Where did you get it from?
IPL, Go Bare, Priceline.
Okay.
Priceline. It comes with, you can get a repair cream as well. And yeah. I use like a hand cream and it's so nice, so soothing.
Okay.
I'm doing IPL at home. Who thought me? Time poor, single mom, businesswoman.
Yeah.
I'm doing IPL at
also
home.
Also laser gal.
Laser gal. Yeah. I'm doing IPL at home.
Love that. Great recommendation.
I love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it's probably more cost effective too.
It's so
than
good.
Going
it is so
and paying.
Good.
And
I don't have the capacity to lie there for an hour.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, today we're just going to do my underarms,
yeah.
do my legs. Like,
okay.
I can't even do my arms. Like, I love it.
I love that so much.
So good.
Thank you.
Oh,
all
yeah.
right. All right, guys, we are going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for listening. As always, I will put Sarah's tags and website into the show notes. If you want to go and check her out, please do. If you want to book a consultation, please do. That's actually my PS for the show. Use the Rent Fairy.
We love that.
Literally. And as always, we love seeing where you listen from. So don't forget to tag us on your stories when you do listen. Tag at your Safe Space Pod and tag the Rent Fairy too so that more people can see the episode and we can get it into the ears of whoever might be needing it right now. As always, don't forget to follow us on Instagram, join our Facebook group and follow our TikTok and we will see you next time. Bye. This podcast was recorded on Gadigal land, hosted by me, Adele Marie. Your Safe Space is a part of the Amplify Podcast Network.